Well, this past week, I got scammed. Yeah, I guess it happens to everybody. You know, sometimes I think I can avoid all of them, but somebody got me. I was looking for a phone and looked on Craigslist, and of course I came across this one, looked like a really good deal. You know how that is. And so I emailed the guy, and he's like, yeah, sorry, I just sold that. He said, but, you know, there's this website that I bought it off of that you can get a phone really cheap. He says, this auction place, you know. And he said, it's really easy to get one off of there. So anyways, I ignored it at first, but then later I was like, oh, maybe I should check that out. So I clicked on the website, and it's like I couldn't see what was available because they didn't let you browse. Like, it was a bid site, but you couldn't browse the items, so you had to register. So I clicked rapidly through the registration and then discovered in my email box a bill for $60. I didn't read the fine print. So anyway, you know how that feels, don't you? It's like, I can't believe I did that. I know all the things that you're supposed to do, and for some reason, I didn't do it at that point. But anyway, the good news is that I was able to call them, and they did refund my money. So, but be careful on Craigslist. If somebody refers you to some bidding site, don't sign up for it. I'm a little tired of the darkness in the world. Do you ever get tired of the darkness in the world? Just, I don't know if you watch the news. But if you watch the news regularly, it's just a constant stream of bad things happening in the world. And at the very end, they always squeeze in this little one good thing that happened that they try and offset everything else. But it's a stream of bad news. If you watch the debate, I watched the debate at least for a while. I couldn't take the whole thing. I had to just kind of bow out eventually because I just started to just feel like I was being drugged down into the gutter. And I was like, I just got tired of that feeling. I don't want to feel that way. And so I just turned it off. I was just noticing in the news this week that there was a guy that was convicted, or at least he's going to trial, I think. I'm not sure if he was convicted or not, of killing those two police officers out in California. And it always gets me when they show these people. One guy was 63 years old, just going to retire that year from the force. And of course, there was a lady who was 27, just had a four-month-old. She had a four-month-old child. I look at that and I wonder, how in the world can somebody do that to someone else? I get tired and sometimes angry about the darkness of the world. And of course, we could go down the list. The unarmed black man, Terrence Crutcher, who was gunned down by police officers. Bombing in Aleppo. And you just see an unrelenting wave of sexual crime in our nation and across the world. I mean, I don't know what it is that triggers your button or what pushes it about the darkness in the world. But we all know. We all experience it, whether it's at a distance or whether it's right up face to face. And you know, we have a lot of responses to it. Sometimes we're just tired. Sometimes we're scared, aren't we? And it's interesting, as we approach the election, I run into a lot of people that just seem to be kind of scared about what's going to happen. Sometimes I'm scared of the dark. I don't know if you were ever scared of the dark, but I remember being at home. I don't know how old I was, but I grew up on a farm. There weren't many lights around. And so in the evening, I remember as a child walking in from the shed. It was a good distance. And I would just get in the back of my head that there was somebody behind me. You ever have that happen to you? And I just would take off running as fast as I could. And I was sure I could hear them running behind me in the dark. Something about darkness sometimes that just scares us. It terrifies us. I get angry and frustrated about the dark, and I'm sure that you do as well. And you know, sometimes we're often unaware of darkness. And usually that's the darkness that is in our own hearts, isn't it? It's so easy to point to somebody else or to point to the news or whatever and say, isn't that terrible what that person did? Isn't it terrible what's going on in their lives? It's a whole different thing to look inside and see some of those terrible things that are happening right in our own hearts and minds. And so I wonder sometimes, we look at the darkness, do you feel overwhelmed by the dark sometimes? I do sometimes. Sometimes it feels a bit overwhelming. And so we have some good news here this morning to talk about. Some really good news, and I'm excited about it. We're going to begin in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And I'm going to be jumping around to quite a few different verses. If you have your Bible, you can try and jump with me, or the verses will be up here as well. 1 John 1, 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I want you to think about that for a moment. Who do you know? Who do you know in this world that you could say that about, that there is no darkness at all, either a person or in a place, an organization? Who do you know that we could say that about? The truth is, there is no one that we could say that about. And so when we look at this verse, I don't think we get an understanding of what this really means. Every other place in this world, there is darkness. Every person that you know has an element of darkness in them, whether you want to admit it or not. There is darkness. But in God, there is no darkness at all. I talked the other Sunday about, you know, the possibility of starting a colony on Mars. I'm intrigued with that and the plans that people are making to go to Mars and start this new colony. And you know what? As soon as we get there, guess what? Darkness will arrive. There's still, as this colony grows, there's still going to be sin that happens. There's still going to be problems in relationships. There's still going to be sexual problems. There's going to be probably murder and things like that. As soon as mankind arrives there and starts a colony, darkness will arrive. There is nothing else in the world that we can say this about, that there is no darkness at all. Think about it. No sin, no false motives, no injustice, no violence, no sexual sin, no gossip, no unkindness, no hatred, no broken relationships. You go down the row. There is none of that in God. There is no darkness at all. But instead, we find the replacement for that. Things like peace and harmony and joy and rest, and freedom. And once again, we could list a long list of things that we have in God, but there is no darkness. God is the only one who is 100% light. And in God, we have this great hope to escape any darkness. Any darkness that is in our lives or around us, we have this great hope that in God, we are able to escape that darkness that exists. And even the darkness that exists in our own hearts, we have this great hope. And so I'm so excited to preach about this morning because, you know, we are surrounded by a lot of darkness. And it seems especially, maybe it's just me, but especially lately, I just hear a lot of fussing about darkness, about isn't it terrible what's happening and what's going to happen and all of the things that could happen to us. But we have this hope that in God we can escape any darkness both the darkness that's out there and the darkness that's in here. Psalm chapter 4. There are many who say, "Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." You get that? You alone. I don't know how many of you are depending on your president or your country or whoever for you to dwell in safety, but I want you to understand something. It is God alone in whom we dwell in safety. We need to remember that. We need some good news. We need a shift in our focus, our thoughts, our conversations, our lives onto what is good. And that is God. Who will show us some good? God Himself. Only the Lord, only in Him will we find joy and dwell in complete safety. Psalm 18. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? God will turn our darkness into light if we let Him. And God not only is light, but He sent His light into the world. Isaiah chapter 9, this beautiful passage of prophecy about Jesus. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. Does that sound familiar? Deep darkness, on them has light shined. Doesn't that excite you? It excites me. And we continue with the prophecy in verse 6, very familiar to us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we have a little preview to Christmas, don't we? What we're going to be celebrating in a few weeks. John chapter 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then my main theme verse for today, John 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world. God sent His Son, Jesus, as the light of the world. Once again, we see that this is singular. We talked about this several times. The light. In other words, there is one light. Just as we talked about, there is one truth. There is one way, and that is Jesus. The way, the truth, the life, the light, the good shepherd. There is one who is sent into the world. There is no other. And don't miss this part of the verse in John chapter 1. Whoever follows me, actually John chapter 8, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows Jesus will not walk in darkness. Are you excited about that? To not walk in darkness. You think about all the darkness that is around us in the world and even that we struggle with. Jesus promises that whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is an amazing promise to me. There is great hope. God did not abandon the world, even though he is completely light and the world is dark. He did not abandon the world. But out of his perfect love, he provided a way for us not to walk in dark, for us not to walk in darkness, but to have the light of life. We do not need to fear darkness. Whatever you think is going to happen with the election, there is no need to fear. I don't know who you think is in charge, but it isn't either one of those people or those candidates we have. Neither one. Even when they take office, they will not be in charge. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. We don't need to be frustrated. I understand there are times when we are frustrated, but as a state of mind, continually, there is no need for us to be frustrated. We don't need to give in to the darkness. There's no need to give in any way. Why would light give way to darkness? Give me a good reason why we would want to do that. Well, there's no reason for that. We do not need to be overwhelmed by the darkness. Whoever follows Jesus, the 100% light of the world, can have the light of life. And Doris, could you bring me a tissue? Oh, I was going to say, I think we cleaned the church this week, and I couldn't find them. I thought maybe somebody removed them from my podium here. We do not need to fear the darkness or be frustrated by it or give in to it or be overwhelmed by it. I wonder if we get that. How much do we understand that? As we kind of grouse about the world. Do we understand it? It seems that everyone is in some way or another beat down by sin or darkness that's in this world or that's in our own hearts. But for those who follow Jesus, the darkness need not overcome us. In fact, we will have the light of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and get this, the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome the light. It cannot overcome the light. We have the light and we have every reason to be joyful and optimistic and positive and hopeful. These are the people that we are because we have the light. God in his perfect love has given us his light in Christ. And I'm not minimizing the struggle that we experience in this life. Let's not forget that we are surrounded by darkness. There is a significant struggle. I'm just saying. The comparison between the darkness and the light, there is no comparison. And so, we have every reason to be a joyful, optimistic, positive people of God. And yet, it seems that Christians, I feel like sometimes, can be some of the gloomiest people around. The sky is falling. What will happen if this happens or whatever? And I wonder, do we understand that we have the light of life inside of us. That the darkness has already been defeated. What will happen if we lose our religious freedoms? What will happen if the economy collapses? What will happen if Russia or China overtakes us? What will happen? And you fill in the blank, whatever it is that sometimes is in our minds. There is no darkness that can overcome the light of Jesus Christ. None. Nothing can stand against it. It will not prevail. It has already been defeated. What darkness can stand against 100% light? I love this illustration, just thinking of light and how when you turn a light on, the darkness flees wherever we're at. And it's no wonder that God uses this illustration to help us understand his overwhelming power and mercy and love. And so it makes sense when Paul says in Romans chapter 8, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us if God is for us? In 1 John chapter 2, John says, yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. The darkness is passing. It's already been conquered. It's passing. In fact, some translations say it's passed away. There are moments where it feels overwhelming. I think we all know that. But that darkness is passing, and it has been defeated. The true light is already shining and will shine for eternity. The light is greater than the darkness. And last point I want to make this morning, we are the light. We are the light. In a few months, my son Bryce and I are going to be traveling to Niger, or Niger as it's called. And I was talking with my nephew, Johnny, who's, him and his wife are missionaries over there. And I said, Johnny, what? We just saw him last weekend. What can we do? Like, you know, I don't know how we're going to be able to help when we come over and hang out with you. Like, what can we do? And he looked at me, he said, you know, he said, you can just share Jesus. That's all you need to do. He said, I'm going to take you around and you can just talk about Jesus. I thought, well, that's pretty simple. I can do that. We are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You, me, followers of Jesus, are filled with the light of life. We're the light of the world. We're set apart. We're children of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. In Ephesians 5, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Isn't that a beautiful description of who we are in Christ? Children of light. You were once darkness, but no longer. So walk as children of light. What does that look like? Does your light shine when you align yourself with morally corrupt candidates? I wonder. How does that work? Can your light shine? Why defend darkness? I'm not saying they're all dark, but there are pieces. I'm just saying, when there's darkness around, why defend it? There is no reason to ever defend darkness. Does it help your light to shine when you speak negatively about people? Is that what shining a light looks like? That isn't you. You're a child of the light. So shine. That's not who you are. Shine your light through love. Love for all people, whether they're black or white, or Hispanic or Asian or Muslim or Syrian or police officers or government officials, all people. Shine your light on their lives. That's what we're called to do on everyone's life. We're to do good to those who hate us. John says if we claim to be in the light, yet we hate our brother, we still walk in darkness. And yet sometimes we want to say, well, this is where I stand. But when we align ourselves with dark, we're in the darkness. We can't pretend that it's not darkness. We pray for those who would persecute us. We're different. We who believe in the light are filled with the light of His Spirit. And so we need to shine. And not, as that verse says, cover it up. Philippians chapter 2 says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. To shine. That's what we're called to do. And so I'm asking you partly this morning as we look at this fact that Jesus is the light, and as followers, we are the light. Will you shine in this world? Will you shine in this dark world? Will you show people who Jesus really is? Will you let His light illuminate every dark corner of your own life? And we don't want to shine that light often on those dark corners of our life, but will you shine His light on those dark corners of our lives? Will you shine your light in and through your marriage if you're married? Will you shine your light in the workplace, wherever it is that you work? Will you shine His light in your family? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So may they see your good deeds and praise the one who is the true light. You remember the verse I shared at the beginning? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You see, the best is yet to come, okay? The story is not complete. The ending has not been written. One day, we will be with Him where there is no darkness at all. In His presence, there is no darkness at all. And one day we will be with Him. And that will be one of the grandest things about being with Him, is there will be no darkness at all. I am so looking forward to that day. And I want to end our time this morning with reading a few verses from the book of Revelation. I don't have them up front here, so just listen as I read. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Later on in chapter 21, it says, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And finally, chapter 22, no longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Will that not be a fantastic time? No darkness at all in my own heart and anyone else's heart. I just can't imagine it, what that'll be like. For now, we struggle with the darkness. But there will be a day when that struggle will be over. And we will be victorious with Christ. And I look forward to that day. I want to close our time with a song we haven't sung for a while. If the worship team could come up. It's a song about the light and asking Jesus to shine His light. To shine His light into our lives, into the lives of people around us in the world. So if you'd stand with us, let's sing this song together. And as we're singing, I would encourage you to think about what is blocking the light in your life. We all are struggling, and there are things in our lives where we know the light is just not shining out very well. And I want you to have confidence that God, His light is greater. There is no darkness in your life that He can't overpower if you surrender to Him. And so as we sing this, I'd encourage you to think about letting God's light shine in your life and letting God's light shine through you to the world.